Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. The Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which is so important. And a service department that does everything. Routine, oil changes, things like that. Inspections and diagnostics. They handle it all. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to the play-by-play call, it's a Sixers thing. It's like, whatever. It's like watching an exhibition game. Just kidding. CBS did a mock NFL draft. There's 2,792 mock drafts. So on the quarterbacks, this is what they had. Number 9 overall, Malik Willis to the Seahawks. 19, Matt Corral to the Saints. Carson Strong of Nevada, 4th round, Carolina Panthers. Desmond Ridder, 2nd round to the Steelers. Sam Howell, 2nd round to the Falcons. Kenny Pickett, 1st round, pick number 32 to Detroit. What do you think, Matt? Your team could use a quarterback.
I'm okay with them not taking a quarterback in this draft.
I'm joking. Your team's fine. ESPN, no Mel Kiper Jr. live. He'll be at remote, and no Adam Schefter for their draft coverage. Evidently, Mel is not vaccinated, thus he is not allowed to go. He'll join remotely due to his vaccination status. Mike Greenberg hosts, Lewis Riddick, Booger McFarland, Kiper remote, Chris Mortensen will work as the broadcast primary reporter. But evidently that means, Sal Palantonio will be with the Eagles, Kimberly Martin with the Jets, Jeff Darlington with the Chiefs, Susie Colbert will do interviews, Laura Rutledge, Green Room, Diana Rossini will be with the Giants. First two nights will also air on ABC. Reese Davis hosting Thursday, Friday with Sam Ponder, Jesse Palmer, Todd McShay, Desmond Howard, Kirk Herbstreit will join Davis with RG3 joining Ponder and Palmer. Pete Thamel serves as the reporter for the broadcast as well. Pete was at practice 3 weeks ago. Great guy. First time I'd ever met him. Terrific guy. Really smart, good reporter, exactly what they need. But no Adam Schefter. No Schefty. Right? Something says here, Schefty is going to be something about the Shikalemi broadcast? No. You want to know why he's not going to be there? It's really a dark, deep secret. You want to know why Shefty's not going to be there?
Why is that?
His son's college graduation.
Ah.
He's going to be there. He's not going to be there for the right reason. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. The Sixers won a preseason game over Toronto.
Says, not tonight.
Got him.
Danny Green.
Oh!
Is getting caught by surprise, but that is definitely a surprise right on his neck.
Yep, you need 16 wins to win the NBA championship. That's two. All right.
That's right. 14 more to go, two more in this particular series.
Okay, you aren't getting out of your own conference. All right, so. Oh, my goodness. But two, really, they're impressive in both wins. Really impressive. I mean, the Toronto is not, to be honest with you, Toronto has not been competitive with Philadelphia. So do we have time here for Neil, or should we go with Chris? You're the producer.
We can squeeze Neil in now. We'll make it work. We'll keep it going here.
All right, Neil. Great to have you with us on the show.
It's great to be here as always, and I am, as always, appreciative of being put into that group of fine media personalities.
And, well, you should be, sir. All right. There are 2,792 mock drafts, give or take 1,000. You and I both know they're all junk, but of the ones that are out there, what do you think? I mean, I'll ask you this again next week. As of today, where do the Steelers go?
I would say this, and it's not so much based on a mock draft, and that in and of itself sort of creates the line of demarcation between a mock draft and a team strategy. But based on the team's needs, immediately 2 years, 3 years down the line, the shining light on the Steelers right now, and I'm surprised this doesn't get talked about more, is the fact that they lost two receivers this offseason, and they don't really have much that we saw coming back in terms of depth. Okay, if it was 1989, if you have one good receiver, you're a leg up on a lot of the competition in the league. You need at least three of them to play a lot now, yep. And the Steelers have one and a half, I would say. The half one fell apart last season, didn't look at all to match what he had shown his rookie season, which was okay, not great. I'm not sure if Chase Claypool is rededicating himself to his craft and his game, but he's going to need to. Even with Claypool coming back in a much better level than he was in 2021, they need a receiver that can play now. Now, I say this knowing free agency isn't over yet by any stretch. There are always veterans out there. The Steelers tend to be a team that want to bring in a veteran to handle that, you know, fifth role with some special teams contributions if they have the right player for that available in the market somewhere. But they absolutely need a young receiver. And I don't think there's a way in the world they're getting out of the first two rounds of this draft without one. So for me, for my money, I would say the leader at the clubhouse would be receiver. But here's what you get into. Is the player who's available, and I'll preface this by saying, is the non-quarterback player available at 20 worth the 20th overall pick? Now, you know the Steve Jones rule. There are two drafts. There's a regular player draft, and there's a quarterback draft.
That's true.
So let's take the quarterbacks out of the equation. If we're just looking at the context of other positions, it is without question wide receiver. That's the biggest need for the Steelers. Will there be a player there that's worth them taking at 20? Because also, wide receiver is kind of a position they don't really take in the first round very often. And considering how many receivers you need, and considering the success that the Steelers have had identifying workable, at least, workable talent from all over the draft, with the exception of the first round, you think they're pretty confident in their ability to spot depth, to find the kinds of guys that they can build into the types of receivers that they want. But this is a completely different thing now. You don't have Ben Roethlisberger with an arm anymore, and you haven't had that for a couple of years, but you don't have his insight. You don't have his game savvy anymore. You have a new offense, essentially, from the days of you know, plucking Antonio Brown and making him an all-world player from the sixth round, getting good run out of a Juju Smith-Schuster, a second-round pick, getting, you know, you're in the process of transitioning to Deontay Johnson, getting 170 targets a year at 11 yards a route, something like that. You don't have a real dynamic, high-level athlete among their receivers. And to me, that's a first-round guy. You need to be able to find that, because you're going to have to take some heat off of Deontay Johnson, a player that I like. I think Johnson's good. He's not an elite guy. You need to get somebody opposite Johnson to bring out the best of him on a per-catch basis. There's too many volume producers on the Steelers right now. Najee Harris is a volume running back. Mm-hmm. Deontay Johnson is a volume receiver. You need a guy that can break somebody's back on one play, and they don't really have that. So to me, that's the direction that I would go, but it's really going to depend on who's there. And that when you're drafting at 20, you know, you're doing that a lot, but you have to hope the right set of circumstances comes up that drops the elite guy down to a point where you can take him. But if there's a position that we've seen lately that it seems to be more susceptible to that, it's receiver for sure. There have been some great receivers taken after 19 in the last couple drafts. I mean, Justin Jefferson, I was floored at why he went as late as he did. And he was a part of, and Chase Claypool was in this draft too, but he was a part of a historically deep receiver group. But you watch that kid play, it's just like, wow. I mean, he's a 100-target guy as a rookie. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I tell you, Vikings took him at, what, 21? I'll take him at 21 all day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a no-brainer. Chris Olave out of Ohio State, I think, is like that. I think he's at that level. I'm not sure he's going to make it to 20, but I could see why you wouldn't take him in the top 10.
Dotson's like that. I can tell you firsthand, Dotson's like that.
There are guys there, and I really think the Steelers are I don't want to say sleight of hand with all the quarterback play. I think it's going to depend on the quarterback who might be available at 20. But I really think they need a receiver above anything else in round one.
As you and I have talked several times when it comes to the quarterbacks, neither one of us knows which one's any good. I mean, when I mean that, I mean in a relative sense of translating to the next level. I can't tell. I don't know if you can.
Well, you're acting as if there's an answer to that. That's the thing. It's not a question. Like, if somebody could tell, this wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't have 75% of them taken in the top 40 be out of the league in 5 years. You don't know. And the reality is that this is something we touched on this a little bit last week. In the older that I get, the harder it is to really see these guys as the kids that they are. Now, let's put them at age 21. They're playing the most complex and most important position in all of sports. They're getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, and they are, whether they're able to do it or not, they are the face of that franchise.
Yeah.
So they're being trained as CEOs, as along with great downfield passers and game managers. You have to do all that at age 21. Now add in the fame, add in the pressure, add in the money, a much higher level of coaching, a necessity of 24/7, 365 nutritional and strength training. Put all of that in. I don't, you know, the 21-year-old coming from Alabama is the one that says Alabama is just like the pros. You never hear the 25-year-old who's been in the pros for 4 years saying that.
No.
There's a reason. There's a lot of things that change, okay? You simply cannot project with, for the most part, a high degree of tangibility, how well somebody is going to adapt to that. Plus, look at the difference in our just in society between 21-year-old and 25-year-old.
Yeah.
After the 25-year-old has had 4 years of professional experience, they are a profoundly different person.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 600 million times as intense for a quarterback. So to act as if we can accurately project that, I think, is nonsense. Unless you're Trevor Lawrence, who has everything. I mean, I don't think they come more you know, pro ready than Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
That's a complete fluke.
Right.
There are far more Baker Mayfields, which I'm not saying his career is over, but you know, I don't think it's quite progressing the way that the Cleveland Browns thought that it would. You don't know what's going to happen in any way, shape, or form. And I didn't even bring up just the simple concept of injuries. That can derail a career very early and very easily. So I don't want to say it's a gut feel. I don't want to say it's anything. I think it very simply is you draw one from the deck and you make it work, or you don't. It's one or the other. I don't think either way, their success or their failure is going to depend on what happens after they're drafted. It has nothing to do with the pick itself. I think it has far less to do with, I don't want to say where they are, but the guy that they're drafting is not going to be the guy that they have in their locker room in a year. They're just not. There's too much that changes. There's too much that happens. They can't expect him to be the same. So they have to project how he's going to grow. And nobody knows that. So you kind of hope for the best. You want to put him in the best position possible. But for me, it comes down to how quick. Really, you need arm strength. You need accuracy. You can see that whether he has the tools to do those things. Right. And you can see the mechanics that he's working with. Okay, so you can project that to some degree. Does he seem mature? Does he seem like he can handle stress, handle pressure? You have to look at that. Your mental growth, is he mature? Can he rise to this? Is he going to grow along a normal path? Will the money change him? Does he have the right people around him to help foster that and help keep him focused on the game? Or at the root of it all, does he absolutely love, eat, breathe, sleep football? That, to me, that's probably the number one question, because you can't do much with a guy at the quarterback position who isn't in love with it. You can get away with that.
Sure.
An elite athlete that doesn't really care a whole lot about football, you're okay with him for 5-6 years. Once his body starts to break down, he really has to keep up on those things at a much more diligent level than just going out and playing. He probably doesn't make the grade all that much anymore. But for the quarterback, they've got to be constantly improving. They've got to be constantly evaluating. And that takes a lot. And that's why there are so few of them that are dominant year to year. But not coincidentally, if you don't have that at your quarterback position, you don't have very good odds of being consistently good. And you have to move mountains over a 3-year period without a good quarterback in order to win in the NFL. If you want to win in those 3 seasons, give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl, you have to have a quarterback that plays really well. And if you have to change that out 2 of those 3 years, odds are you're not going to be very competitive in 2 of the 3, if not all 3.
See, well, that's how I've always admired about you. You've never let the money go to your head.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing I am grateful today to be able to say. My financial windfalls of talking about football have not affected me.
It's interesting. We talk about mock drafts. There's never been a draft since it began in 1936 with the pick of Jay Berwanger by the Philadelphia Eagles. That you've had a draft where in the first 10 picks, somebody whose job is to touch the football for a living has always been in the first 10. Yet this might be the one that opens the door where the first 10 picks, none of them are guys that touch the ball for a living. Quarterback, running back, no, won't be any running backs, and wide receivers or tight ends. I find that as a possibility that's interesting.
Kind of a red flag, isn't it? I'd worry about that if I was a team. I ranted last year in this segment, and I heard it from Bengals fans up and down leading into the draft. All the talk was
Penny Sewell, Penny Sewell,
we need Penny Sewell, Penny Sewell. We need Penny Sewell. Our protection is terrible. We need Penny Sewell. A quarterback got hurt because our protection is terrible. We need Penny Sewell. Well, first off,
what pick did you and I rave about the next day? Jamar Chase. That's right.
You and
I both said, that's an awesome pick. The heck with Penny Sewell.
It was the best pick of the draft. I mean, he should have gone higher than that. Because the guy, and you saw it as a rookie, he's making man plays 6 games into his career. And the guy's going to be an all-pro player for 5 or 6 seasons.
I mean, and I raved about that pick the next on that Friday, because we had you on that Friday. And we were like, what a pick.
I hated it and loved it, because, wow, the Bengals are doing the right thing here. And
the Bengals are not doing Bengals things. That's darn it.
Why? Because you need to get the ball down the field in this game. And you need to have the threat to do that.
Yep.
Protection, let me just dispel this myth. Protection obviously is important. Protection is a unit, okay? It's not one guy. Left tackle does not do anything if they just slide, the rush over the other way. If he's Anthony Munoz reincarnate and he can take 2 guys at once, they're just going to put everybody else on the opposite side. So you need 2 of them then, by that definition. You're not getting 2 of those kinds of players. You need to find a way to make 5 guys play as a unit as if they're all that talented, even though they're not.
Which
and
now
a huge part of that is your quarterback. So we get into that. The guy that has the ball has the control. Joe Burrow, to be honest with you, I've ripped Burrow in this as well from the leading into the playoffs and during the playoffs. Burrow didn't play particularly well. I don't care who he is. I don't care how allegedly likable he is. He did not play well, okay? Their defense got them where they ended up.
He didn't play well in the Super Bowl either, contrary to popular belief. He really didn't. The one tip ball, was it T. Higgins? Where he almost ripped.
Brutal offensive pass interference that wasn't called. That was the 80-yard play.
On Ramsey,
pretty much all he did.
Right.
You know, he was beaten pretty handily by the veteran quarterback on the field.
The Bengals' defense
played phenomenally well.
That was John Unitas to John Mackey tipped by Mel Renfro, right?
Except
with the penalty.
Yes, exactly. So you put all of that together, the point is protection is good. I just, in today's NFL, I'm not drafting a left tackle at 5 overall when there is a superstar wide receiver on the board. I'm just not doing it. I'll find a left tackle that can play, okay?
Which then brings me full circle back to where we started. I think that goes exactly in a draft that has a depth of talented receivers. You got to get one of them. You got to
in a league that requires talented receivers, and the best you've got right now is Deontay Johnson. You need to add some. I'm not trying to disrespect Deontay Johnson. He blocked me on Twitter for some reason. It's nothing against him. It's that he is a 1B level receiver. He's not an elite guy. He did well with 170 targets, but let's be honest, he got 170 targets because the quarterback couldn't throw down the field, and he doesn't get open down the field all that particularly well. He's not a burner. He's a great route runner. He's an underneath guy, though. He's an 11-yard a target guy.
Like it's C&C, okay? It's confidence and consistency. He's got the first, the confidence, but he doesn't have the latter, the consistency.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I'm choosing my words carefully here because criticizing Deontay Johnson is not a popular thing in among the Steelers' Twitterverse right now. Deontay Johnson is a great route runner. He runs with great balance, and he creates separation after his breaks at a high level. You know, he looks good in doing that. But that type of receiver is a guy that gets open underneath. He's not burning you on a post. He's not beating you on a fly down the field. He's not getting you chunk plays. They'll get you first downs, and I'm by no means suggesting he should be getting the ball less or anything like that. He's an effective player. They should pay him. They should keep him. I think he's good.
Yes.
But they need a dude, and Johnson is just not that. He's not a high-level receiver. And in the NFL today, if you don't have one, you're probably not a very good team. It's just the way the game is.
Can I give you a quick comparison? You know who I think he is? Right. And by the way, the player I'm about to say I think was really, really good. He's Alvin Harper. Right? A tremendous number two that when he then in free agency went to be the number one with Washington is not a number one.
Was it Washington? He went to Tampa Bay, didn't he?
One of them. I thought it was Washington.
Yeah, somebody paid him a lot and he didn't do anything because he's kind of a one-trick pony. He was good at that trick.
He's a two. He's a 1B. He's a 1B. That's my point. He's a 1B, okay? And he's not a 1A. And he was signed to be a 1A.
I take great pains to not mix fantasy football terminology with the actual game. They don't have there's no distinction of a number one receiver. That's something we create. But that context, yes. But he got 170 targets last season. If you want to define what a number one receiver is, I think them making a priority to get the ball to the guy has got to be pretty high on that list. So he has that. He has the ability to get open underneath. He can go in, you know, all cardinal directions in order to catch the ball, but he cannot go. He is not going to consistently beat you over the top. He doesn't require double coverage. You really can't double cover him because he's not far enough down the field. What they need, though, is Johnson to be able to run underneath stuff and be able to put a guy over the top of him. have a high-low look and force your safeties into conflict. That's what they need. And they don't have you would have thought Chase Claypool could do. I don't know what Chase Claypool is doing, but he's probably doing it while lying on the field.
No.
He's not the game breaker that you think that he would be, and there are a variety of reasons for that, and we don't have enough time to get into it. It's a big offseason for him, and I hope that he's working, but there's not a way in the world the Steelers can count on him. You know, yeah. 2 years left on his deal. They just can't count on him. They need to get another guy and let Claypool compete, figure out who he wants to be as a player. They need to get another guy in there, plain and simple. And it can't be a third-round Mac receiver. They need to get a dude. And that's the direction that I would go. I'm not against a quarterback, but honestly, if it's not one of those two positions, I don't know what they're doing.
We were both right. He signed with Tampa Bay, and then he signed with Washington.
Ah, okay, yeah. Washington's going to end up a graveyard for all of those players back in those days. Nobody mismanaged free agency with more appeal and zest than the Washington franchise did back in the early to mid-90s.
And to their credit, still mismanaging other elements today. All right, so... we will be...
A tradition that won't die.
A tradition unlike any other. All right.
I was looking for that. I missed it.
My friend... Full bore on the draft next week. Look forward to it. Thanks so much, as always.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I hear you open the show every day, and then I feel like I hear the words clean up on aisle 4. You can't accuse people cannot accuse you of me of not having fun on the show.
That is correct.
It's interesting. In all seriousness, I know that the suit talks all the time about streaming, right?
Always.
And it's when you go with what's been going on in terms of video streaming right now. Video streaming is not going well. Shares of Netflix cratered more than 23%. They've lost 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter. Now that's video streaming, obviously. And I know a lot of people do listen to us on our stream. I've got that. I do understand. So I understand the importance of it. But I also think there are fads along the way. And there's a tried and true way. And I know we do a lot of the tried and true here while keeping up with the fads. But today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that can take care of routine, can take care of inspections, diagnostics, great pros. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. I know we're going to get to Chris Grassi in a moment, but Penn State officially announced the two basketball transfers, and they're not done yet. They're hosting another potential transfer today, and it is a big man, by the way. Cameron Winter out of Drexel, he can play point or two, which is fine. You're talking about a guy 6'2", nearly 16 a game, 5 assists per game last year, so he can play point or two. Good shooter from the outside, which really helps. And, of course, I don't have to tell anybody here about Andrew Funk.
You, sir, are my hero!
17.5 a game, 36% in threes, which is a really good number. He can play two or three. When you play for Micah Shrewsbury, and Nathan Davis, obviously understands the value of having really smart players. Micah Shrewsbury, same thing. The value of really smart players in his system at both ends of the floor, Cameron Winter and Andrew Funk, both fit that to a T. Smart players that are also skill players and can shoot the ball. All right, let's get to Chris Grassi now. We're going to talk about the blue-white game coming up Saturday as he joins us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Chris, a pleasure. Looking forward to Saturday.
Thanks for having me.
Now, despite what we've seen the last couple of days, the week breaks beautifully.
It does.
It breaks beautifully, which means it's a big day on Saturday. So I want to go to, first of all, people are going to ask about the parking part first. So let's start with that, Chris, because I think that's going to be really important, because you actually can get the parking part done ahead of time if you want.
Correct, yeah. So parking for this game on Saturday is $20 a car, a vehicle. We also have the opportunity, like you said, for people to purchase parking in advance and have it available on their mobile phones. And that's something very unique to this game alone, because, as you know, during the regular season, we have specific traffic patterns that people need to follow, and it's important to have that hang tag off of your rearview mirror in the regular season. But for this event, because people can come into the stadium from any direction, we do have mobile parking passes available, and you can go to gopsusports.com/bluewhite and purchase a parking pass there. They'll also accept cash or credit card on site too, but you know, to keep things flowing, we're suggesting that people purchase them in advance and just be ready to go.
All right. So now that part's important. And again, there's no traffic pattern that day. Cash or card, or go to gopsusports.com if you want to do it in advance. Now, the Boardwalk Fan Fest. This is always a blast. And you know, remember, we're doing all this stuff for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah, it's we're super pumped about it. One of the most fun parts of our job is we get to pretty much plan a carnival, and and we plan the carnival around the football game. And so starting at 9 a.m. until kickoff at 2, right on Curtin Road, right in front of the stadium, we'll have the blue-white boardwalk. And that's we're bringing carnival games in. There'll be a Ferris wheel, a giant slide, if you'd like to go down it at some point too, Steve. We'll make it available for you.
That's how you see Jack Hammond, Steve Jones going down the slide. Hey, yeah.
I think you got something there. I think that would be great. We'll have carnival games, carnival food, and then you know some activities for families. Balloon twister, face painter, a photo booth. We'll have live music starting at noon, and then, of course, the team arrives right at 11:30, dropped off in the same spot right by Medler Field like they are in the regular season, and they'll march right down the boardwalk right in the middle of all the action so fans can get up close and personal and greet the team as they get to the stadium.
For people who want to go into the stadium, how early can they do that, Chris?
They can do it at 12:30 is when gates open. And of course, the game itself is free. So this is an awesome opportunity for some people who might not have a chance to normally come to a game in season to bring out family members and friends and really enjoy themselves.
And the Boardwalk Fan Fest is free, too.
The Boardwalk Fan Fest is free. The rides on the slide is free. The all of the rides will be free. There is a small charge for the games and the food, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, getting into the boardwalk is completely free.
All right, apparel and equipment sale. No, he's really into that part of it. I mean, you can tell by the cut of his clothes, he needs as much apparel as he can get.
Yeah, so we have our it's actually one of our fan favorite events, and we do it in Pagula Ice Arena starting at 8, actually. So if people want to get there extra early to get in line, but
I'd like to point out with the game at 2, this goes from 8 to 1.
Correct. Yeah. So. Yeah. Or while supplies last.
Right.
And so if you've made your way over there in past years, it gets pretty crowded and things go quickly. So I would suggest getting there early. But this is a chance to purchase the surplus of equipment and apparel that we have through the athletic department. So Nike apparel, football helmets, jerseys, hockey sticks, cleats, shoes, everything like that. They'll have a really good selection of things. And there's no cost to get into that either. So.
And by the way, you can pay for the apparel and the equipment, cash, check, or credit card.
Yep,
so you
everything.
Can do, okay, you can take care of all
no
that.
No Bitcoin, but everything else we will accept there.
He uses Dogecoin.
Okay. Yeah, we don't accept that either, unfortunately.
Yeah. You've noticed that it's not accepted in many areas. That's a bothersome part. I mean, you got to, you know, we're trying with you. Okay. So what about a public skate?
Yeah, so that's something that we're excited about, too, this year. I mean, you really can kind of pick your pleasure when you come to this event on Saturday, and starting at 11:30, there'll be opportunity for people to go to Pagula Ice Arena and skate around on the ice in that amazing facility. And so we're selling tickets in advance to that as well, and that's available on the website. But that goes from 11:30 to 1. So if you're a parent looking to really tire your children out, I would suggest getting them up bright and early, bringing them to skating, and then having them entertained at the boardwalk, and then go into the game.
By the way, if you want to go to the equipment and apparel sale, go through Gate A, by the way.
Correct. Yep.
If you want to go skate, go to Gate C at Pagula.
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
Next up, a select a seat booth. I'm happy to say I have mine all selected and ready to go. I'm good, but some of you may be saying, how about my seat?
Yeah, for sure. So this is our chance for some people who are coming to the game who might not be our football season ticket holders, our 107K family,
yep,
to check out some available seats in Beaver Stadium and find the seats that might be the right fit for them and their family and friends. And right inside of Gate B, we'll have our ticket sales representatives, and they'll take you up to seats that are open and show you the view and talk to you about options. So that is something that'll be going on outside at the boardwalk, mm-hmm, before the game, and then once the game starts, right inside of Gate B.
The parking lots, by the way, Beaver Stadium will open at 9:00 on Saturday. People always, that's one of the questions they'll ask right away. When do the lots open? They open at 9:00. Team arrives at 11:30. Now, again, they're doing this like it is an actual game. I mean, believe me, it's how this week builds up for them. That's why they're going to arrive at 11:30, because that's about the time that they would arrive for a game day, with the game starting at 2:00. And all of this, by the way, the Blue-White game is presented by Highmark.
Correct. Yes. Good job. Yep. Appreciate that.
It's what I do, Chris.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, you don't think that's not going to be mentioned on the broadcast a few times on Saturday? I mean, I'm just practicing now. So, any other things you want to add about the game? I mean, first of all, it's going to be 69, by the way, by the time we get to 2:00 on Saturday, based on the latest forecast and new precipitation.
Yeah, we're just excited that the weather clears. Obviously, that's the biggest encouragement or deterrent for us. But I just, like you said on the top, it's the first time in 3 years where we've welcomed our fans back for this specific event, and so we're really excited to get all of our Penn State family back into Beaver Stadium and just enjoy some Penn State football and not have to worry about the wins and the losses and just sit back, relax, and put on your headphones and listen to Steve and Jack and just enjoy being in Beaver Stadium.
Just the level of excitement just within the athletic department, because this hasn't happened in 3 years. So
yeah.
What was it like for all of you to get out there and be active in something that's exciting like this?
Yeah, we really miss this event, and we had this whole thing planned and ready to go in 2020.
Yeah.
And we had to call it off about a couple weeks early, and then we ended up doing our virtual tailgate promotion, but that was nothing like just having everybody back here, and it just means so much to the community and to the student athletes to be out there and competing and practicing in front of the most passionate fan base in the country. And so we are pumped for it, for sure.
I can't say enough about getting fans back into facilities, because this is something, to be honest, Chris and I are two people that never took it for granted to begin with. Mm-hmm. So this is not like, oh yeah, no, you never take it for granted. Then, of course, nobody's there for a period of time. Last year, getting them back was awesome. Now, this is you feel like this is the final step, mm-hmm, because this is actually the one step. Last year was limited. Mm-hmm. You feel like this is actually the last step, and come on, everybody, come back.
Yeah, yeah. We've got our full runway leading into the fall, so we can do all of our normal planning. And we're just excited to get back into it and move forward and do what we love to do. So, Yeah, it's going to be great.
So here's how it runs down. Blue White Apparel and Equipment sale will be at Pagoula. Enter at Gate A, by the way. That's from 8 a.m. to 1. Cash, check, credit cards you can, as you make your purchases. That's Gate A at Pagoula. Beaver Stadium lots will open at 9. The Blue White Boardwalk Fan Fest all along Curtin Road. That will go from 9 a.m. to 2. Entrance to that is free, and there will be food and entertainment and a lot of fun that goes with this. A couple of rides will be free. Other things, obviously, you'll have to buy, but you expect that anyway. Next up is the football team arrival. Normal spot, Curtin Road, right there at the corner at Porter. That's at 11:30. The public skate at Pagoula goes from 11:30 to 1. Now, I mentioned that the equipment sale and apparel, you enter at Gate A, but for the public skate, you enter at Gate C, and that is from 11:30 to 1. That's a $9 charge, by the way, on that. Beaver Stadium gates open at 12:30. Select a seat. Yes, go to Gate B for select a seat. Very important. This is a way for you to get yourself totally ingrained as part of the 107K family. And then you can do that at 1:30, and then the Blue White game presented by Highmark gets rolling at 2. I think we covered everything.
We did. Yes. Thank you very much.
I'll stop by the apparel sale and pick up some stuff for Zach because that coat doesn't cut it.
No.
Hey, I'm sorry. But what were you thinking today when you just wanted to be warm? Yeah, I'm warm. Are you warm?
I'm great.
Yeah. It's a nice lion on yours.
Yep. Nice. Nike lion. Mm-hmm. Pullover. Mm-hmm. Quarter zip. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Yeah, we're right. We're all good. Yeah. I didn't know you played for the L.L. Bean team. All right, Chris, thanks so much.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Hey, by the way, Chris Grassi joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Very quickly, 7 Banks, I thought really good corner for Ohio State, has transferred. He's going to go to LSU. All right, we'll come back. Your News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.